Our next guest never loses sleep at night. He just doesn't sleep in general because he's always chasing down leads in the NBA. Tony Jones, Salt Lake Tribune Jazz Insider with us here on the Bill Riley Show. How did you think last night went?
I thought it went about as well as possible for the Jazz. You know, I knew very early on in the process that they fell in love with Donovan Mitchell, who they think has a real chance to be a dynamic combination guard in this league. I did not think that they had a chance to get Mitchell because, you know, rightfully Mitchell was going to be a lottery pick. And I even on Twitter told one of my longtime followers that, you know, it's unrealistic to think that the Jazz could package their first round picks, both of their first round picks, to go up and get Mitchell. And not only was I wrong on that, the Jazz didn't even have to package both of their picks. Denver let the Jazz off really easy, in my opinion. I mean, they packaged the 24th pick and they packaged Trey Lyles, who has a lot of talent, but who had basically fallen out of favor with the Jazz all the way around. And they were able to go and get the guy that they wanted. And the second guy that they wanted was Tony Bradley because, you know, he had a really, really good workout and they need a credible backup for Rudy Gobert. So I thought the Jazz did about as well as possible. And I was amazed in that trade that they did not have to surrender both of their first-round picks, that they only had to give up one.
Yeah, I even talked to Chad Ford yesterday, and Chad said it's going to be hard to get in the lottery without giving up prospects and picks. The Jazz gave up, a prospect in Trey Lyles, but only one of the picks. Why ultimately, Tony, did Trey Lyles not work here with the Jazz?
Well, I mean, it was a combination of things that were in Trey's control. I was just the fact that he didn't make shots, the fact that he decided that he didn't want to play a lot of defense, to some things that were really out of Trey's control, which, you know, were really unfortunate, which leads me to have some empathy for Trey. And, you know, he got caught in a numbers game. And he got caught, you know, just kind of in the franchise needed to win last year and to have any chance to keep Gordon Hayward coming up in free agency, and Trey Lyles got caught up in that. And in terms of the fact that he was a guy who still needed developmental minutes, but the franchise had moved past the developmental stage. And, you know, that's not the franchise's fault. That's not Trey Lyles' fault. It's kind of the same thing that happened to Dante Exum, but Dante still managed to stay at least on the fringe of the rotation. Trey Lyles just fell out of the rotation. So, I just think that he needed a change of scenery, but he has a lot of talent. And, you know, I just think both sides just kind of checked out from one another somewhere around midseason.
Jazz insider Tony Jones here on the Bill Riley Show. I want to get back to Dante in a second with the summer and free agency coming up. But obviously, we all fall in love with the draft pick and rationalize why the guy is great. Nitpick a little bit on Donovan Mitchell with me. Give me something that might be an issue or something that the kid's going to have to work on to be a good player on the next level.
Well, he's got to figure out how to be a little bit more dynamic off the dribble. I mean, he's good off the dribble, but he's not great off the dribble. He's still, you know, he has a 6'10" wingspan, which is really monstrous for his size, but he's still only 6'3". So no matter what, you know, covering the Klay Thompsons of the world, that's going to be difficult for him. So he's going to, you know, the history of 6'3" shooting guards being really successful in this league are really, it's a mixed bag, you know. So on one hand, you know, Donovan Mitchell can be Ben Gordon. On the other hand, he might turn out to be Sean Respert. So, you know, that's something that if I were a Jazz fan, I'd take pause in. But the things that you like, I mean, you love his athleticism. I mean, he's an absolutely insane athlete. He's an improving shooter. He's much improved as a shooter his sophomore year at Louisville as opposed to his freshman year. He is good off the dribble, and he's a dynamic defensive player. He's ready right now to step in and play in the NBA defensively. And defense is the hardest thing typically for a rookie to learn. So it's going to be interesting to see his development. But he's a hard worker, and he's a guy who who has that dog in him. I mean, he plays like a Trevor Booker. So it's going to be interesting to see him.
Tony Bradley a project, or could he be a 10-12 minute a night guy next year?
Well, I think he's a project, but he's got a lot of tools to work with. I mean, he has a 7-foot-5-inch wingspan. He really played well in his workout with the Jazz, which is why the Jazz, went through some pains to go and get him. He showed a jump shot that he didn't show at North Carolina. He showed some skill in the post that he didn't show at North Carolina. But he's got two things. I mean, he's got physical tools in terms of he's got a monstrous wingspan, and he's every bit 6'11", and he's a great rebounder. And rebounding tends to be about effort, and that tends to translate from level to level. So if you're a good rebounder in high school, you tend to be a good rebounder in college. If you're a good rebounder in college, you tend to be a good rebounder at the pro level. It's a skill that typically translates. So those are the reasons to be excited about with him. Reasons that you have to have pause with him is that he's still very, very young. He's coming off his freshman year. And he's a bit of a plotter. And teams are going to try to take advantage of him and pick and roll. So he's got to really prove that he can defend guards on the perimeter, and he's got to prove that he can defend as the back line of that pick and roll. But the Jazz want him to be, a backup for Rudy Gobert. I think that he has a chance to absolutely be a credible backup.
Moment or two more here with Tony Jones. You had the story the other day, the Jazz were talking to Houston, but it wasn't just the Jazz. Number of teams talking to Houston about Patrick Beverley. We heard yesterday maybe Rubio in the conversation. It would appear to me with the deal of Dunn to Chicago that Rubio's probably sticking around Minnesota. Where or what is going on right now with Patrick Beverley and the Jazz or anybody?
Well, talks are still continuing with Patrick Beverley. Dennis Lindsay acknowledged that last night that he's looking for a veteran point guard and that he's going to continue to look for a veteran point guard. One of the underrated aspects of that trade that the Jazz made with Denver last night is that they picked up $1.4 million in salary. They saved themselves some money. So they now have almost $15 million in cap space instead of the $13.6 million. Now, they still have to use it by next Friday, but that $1.4 million can really help. I like the prospect of Beverley because he's a 40% three-point shooter. He's a real dog defensively, and he's a pain in the behind to play against. And he costs $5.5 million. And the one thing that, is underrated about last night is that the Jazz have some power forward concerns. They still have Derek Favors going into the last year of his contract. Joe Johnson started his career as a small forward, as a shooting guard. I think that the Jazz need to figure out a way to get another power forward on the roster. So doing that, if they potentially trade for Beverley, they still have money left over to use by next Friday to kind of address that concern. So it'll be interesting to see which way the Jazz go.
Did you see anything that happened last night that helped or hurt the Jazz chances with either Hayward or Hill?
I think if Boston goes out and gets Paul George, they could still go out and get Hayward. I tend to think this is the way I tend to think. I think if I think that the Jazz have as good a basketball pitch to make to Gordon Hayward as any team in the league, that Gordon can go to. So, obviously, Golden State's not an option for Gordon Hayward. Cleveland's not an option for Gordon Hayward. I think when it comes to what the Jazz are competing against, they have, just as good a basketball reasons for Gordon to stay as Gordon to leave. So, in light of that, I just think if Gordon leaves, it's just because he wants to leave and that he wants to go somewhere else. And that's not the Jazz's fault. So, I tend to, whatever Boston does, I tend to let it roll off. Because I think, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just going to be a personal choice for Gordon. Does he want to stay with the Utah Jazz, or does he want to go to the Miami Heat or the Boston Celtics or somewhere else? Because I think the Jazz have put their best foot forward, and I think that they've done everything that they can in their power to keep him.
The rumors heat up over the next 7-8 days as free agency begins basically a week from tonight, midnight. And, of course, Tony Jones will be all over it, Jazz Insider with the Salt Lake Tribune. Thank you, sir. By the way, LJ Peak, who took him last night?
Nobody took him. But
dang it!
He has landed a summer league deal with the Houston Rockets.
Attaboy, LJ! Attaboy, LJ! Hoya Sexa! My guy, Frank Mason. I think he's going to stick with the Sacramento Kings. I think he'll be a nice rotation guard with the Kings.
I think he's going to stick, and I think he's going to make the rotation. And I think I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think that the Sacramento Kings were a mature franchise last night.
I said the same thing on our draft coverage to Gordy. We were doing winners and losers. I loved what Sacramento did. They've taken some of the insanity out. They've added a little maturity. I loved their draft last night.
Yeah, I really, really loved what they did. I mean, they got a franchise point guard. They got a backup point guard. They got a really nice small forward in Justin Jackson. He's never going to be a star, but, I mean, he's one of those guys that can be a real glue guy. He's going to replace Rudy Gay, and they took the ultimate flyer. I mean, and Harry Giles. If Harry Giles pans out, this draft is just going to be a home run for Sacramento. I can't believe I'm saying that.
We'll catch up with Tony more over the next couple of weeks, but good catching up, my man. Have a great weekend, and thanks as always.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.